And now, from tomatoes to herbs. In the Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, and the Amazon, rural and urban communities rely on plant-based medicine as their form of healthcare. When moving to the United States, members of these communities often continue using herbal remedies because of cultural ties, their faith, and because of the cost of healthcare. But what happens when plants get face-to-face with modern medicine? Laura Calzada has our story.
I'm at the New York Botanical Gardens in the Bronx. It is a cold December day. This place is huge and beautiful, a vast extension of green. I'm surrounded by children and families. In front of me is a miniature train passing through tiny mountains. The kids look amazed.
It's the holiday train show. One of the biggest attractions of the New York Botanical Garden every year.
This is ethnomedical researcher Ina Vandenbroek. She identifies the plants that Latino communities are using for different health conditions and pairs the common name with the botanical identity.
This plant belongs to the genus Costus. It's closely related to the ginger family. It's a family that's called Costaceae. And this is a plant that the Dominican community calls insulina. And they use it frequently to treat diabetes. The upper parts, a tea is brewed from them. And people say it keeps their sugar levels under control.
Dr. Vandenbroek takes the first step, identifying these plants so that biologists can study their efficacy and potential toxic components.
This plant has been very poorly studied in the laboratory. And that's what's happening with a lot of the plants that Dominican and other Latino and Caribbean communities are using in New York City as well.
The tour continues in this hot environment of the tropical rainforest. We discover the tasty guanabana, soursop in English, and zapote, an edible fruit used for medical purposes. The seed is grated, made into a tea, and given to children to treat asthma.
There can be some problem with using that seed because it contains compounds that release hydrogen cyanide and can be toxic. But of course, what is a poison and what is a medicine always depends on the dose. More research needs to be done from that point. But before we can do that research, we have to know what are the kind of plants that they're using and what are they using it for.
So I called Michelle Dominguez. She works at an herbal retail store in the Bronx called 21 Division. People come to places like 21 Division to buy their plants and remedies. There are 60 botanical stores in just the Bronx alone. So who buys there?
Some women who are young, who can't have children, who we sell a mixture of plants to help them be able to conceive. Also women who have menstrual issues, older people. If it's younger people, it's more basically for spiritual uses, not more medicinal. Most of the time, if the younger person doesn't know of what something that's good, that's a natural medicine, then their parents come in or their grandparents come in and buy it for them. Myself, because I'm early 30s, I learned a lot of those remedies from my parents. Honestly, most of our older clients refuse to take any medication that's prescribed.
What do the medical doctors have to say about all this? I asked Dr. David Perez, who works at the pharmaceutical company Cigna.
Latinos and Caribbeans believe in the cultural care that they've received, and so they're not going to abandon it. And so there's a need to respect for the care that's given, but it's also important to understand when that care has potential for adverse side effects. If you're well-trained, you believe in what you do, and you believe that what somebody may be doing is myth. So there needs to be created an understanding of what that myth is, what is real, what is beneficial, and what is potentially toxic.
And this understanding is what Ina Vandenbroek is creating by teaching medical students and physicians about the use of herbs in plant-based medicine. So they become more culturally sensitive to this reality and know how to respond to their patients. And what about younger generations? What do they do when they don't feel well? One girl I talked to, named Yaelis, told me she turns to her grandmother, who always has something to heal her. She even plans to pass her grandmother's remedies on to her own children and even grandchildren. So plant remedies aren't going anywhere. And no doubt they will be coexisting with pharmaceutical drugs. The only worry is that there isn't enough research yet on how these two forms of medicine interact. For Latino USA, I'm Laura Calzada.